This is The Doctor Is In, your bi-weekly podcast that discusses all things technical and not so technical. The Doctor Is In podcast is produced by ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, and sponsored by DX Engineering, helping you shrink the globe. See their website at www.dxengineering.com.
Hello and welcome to the Doctor Is In podcast. I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I want to take a moment to talk to you about whisper. Should I whisper? Whisper. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. It's a terrible pun, but in all honesty, whisper is an acronym, WSPR. It stands for Weak Signal Propagation Reporter. If you have the WSJTX software suite, it's one of the modes that is supported by that application. This is the same application that provides FT8, the wildly popular digital mode that everybody is doing these days, or so it seems. But Whisper is a creature off to itself, something that you may want to explore because, believe me, it is intriguing, to say the least. And the reason is, Whisper is designed to receive digital information practically at the very limit of what amateur radio technology, at least, is capable of. We're talking about minus 28 dB within a 2500 hertz bandwidth. That is such a low level, it's in many cases inaudible, at least to our ears, but is still very much there. So what is Whisper? Well, it's a digital mode. We know that much. What's it used for? Whisper is used for exploring propagation and also for getting a better sense of what your antennas are doing or what they're not doing, as the case may be. It's fair to think of Whisper as being a kind of digital beacon mode, although from a legal aspect, it really isn't, and we'll get into that more later. It's normally transmitted at very low power levels. Now, by very low, I mean a watt, in many cases, much less than a watt. Milliwatts, microwatts of power. Each transmission lasts a little more than 110 seconds. You can round that up to 2 minutes if you like. And if you actually do manage to hear a whisper signal on the air, it will sound almost like a continuous tone, with maybe a slight warbling quality to it. And within every whisper transmission, there are three nuggets of information: the station call sign, the station grid square location, and the power output of the whisper transmitter, and that's expressed in dBm. Joe Taylor designed Whisper to pull signals out way, way deep into the noise, much deeper than you might otherwise imagine. As we said, minus 28 dB. Whisper is not a communication mode. In other words, this is not a mode that you would use to exchange information between two stations. That's not the way it works. Instead, one station will transmit during a roughly 2 minute interval. It will transmit over and over and over again those nuggets of information, and stations in distant locations obviously will attempt to decode the signal. Once they decode the signal, they display the information on the computer screens, and if the stations have internet connections, they upload that information to a large database. And that database, by the way, is maintained at a website called WhisperNet, www.wsprnet.org. All this being the case, what's the point of Whisper? Well, the point of Whisper, in a way, is science. It's exploration. It's investigation. Many times when you think a band is dead, let's say 20 meters, 10 meters, 6 meters, you may be surprised to find that it's very much alive, at least for whisper signals. There are times, for example, when I've left my whisper receiver on overnight on a band that should, by all rights, be dead, especially at night. I wake up in the morning, and what do I find? I find that I've decoded signals, whisper signals, from stations, in some cases, thousands of miles away. And when I'm transmitting with Whisper, I'm astonished at who decodes my signals. again, sometimes stations thousands of miles away that I can't imagine would otherwise hear, let's say, a 1-watt signal from my dipole antenna. It's only 30 feet off the ground, and yet here I am being heard in Australia, New Guinea, something like that, at times when, in theory at least, that should not be possible. I particularly enjoy playing around with Whisper on 6 meters, because that's a band that ordinarily isn't open 24/7. It opens and it closes when you least expect it. That's why some people call it the magic band. Well, I like to park my Whisper receiver on 6 meters and just see when it's really open. Walk away for a few hours, come back, and I've received signals from a number of places around the country. The band opened, I received their signals, and then it closed. I can see how strong the signals were. I can see how long I received them. It's really fascinating stuff. Now, what about practical applications of Whisper, other than studying propagation? Well, I use Whisper, and many hams do, for getting a good sense of what their antennas are actually doing. In other words, where is your antenna radiating, in what directions, and how strong? Whisper is excellent for that. If you transmit Whisper, say on a band where you know there are a number of stations monitoring, and by the way, if you go to WhisperNet, you can get a list of what stations are monitoring and exactly where they are at any given time or in any given frequency. And I'll set up my Whisper software and I'll start sending beacon transmissions. And I'll just sit there and watch everything work and I'll let it go for, let's say 10 or 15 minutes. Then I get on WhisperNet and I look at the database or I look at the map and I can see exactly who heard me and how strong I am at their stations. And if you do this frequently, pretty soon a pattern will emerge. I can see, for example, on 20 meters, I have kind of a shadow to the south. I don't do very well directly south of my location. But to the southwest and directly west, I do pretty well, at least according to Whisper. Now, sometimes I've taken small antennas, like mobile antennas or maybe small loops, and I'll set them up in my side yard, and again, go back up to my station, I'll transmit Whisper. Oh, I'll do it for maybe 25, 30 minutes, something like that. Go to WhisperNet, take a look, and I can see, again, exactly who is hearing me and in what locations. And I've discovered some really interesting stuff that way, especially about loop antennas, but that's a subject for another time. Now, when it comes to making Whisper transmissions, there's one thing I need to point out. This is the legal aspect I promised we would go over, and that is this. Although technically a Whisper transmission is a beacon, because it is a one-way transmission for testing purposes, which hams are allowed to do, it cannot be unattended. That's the rub. In other words, Part 97 of the FCC rules only permits unattended automatic beacons above 28200 megahertz. Most Whisper beacons are operated, on HF bands, although, of course, they do appear up on 6 meters as well. And down there, you're really not supposed to operate a Whisper station or a Whisper beacon, if you will, unattended. That means you can't set up your Whisper software to transmit overnight, all night, while you're asleep. Being unconscious doesn't mean that you're attending to your station. Same thing if you set up Whisper and you go downstairs to watch the football game. You're really not attending to your station. Something could go wildly wrong with your transceiver and you'd never know. So just a legal aspect to point out, if you're going to be transmitting Whisper, you have to be there at the very least to be present at your station so you can be aware of what is going on so that you can pay reasonable attention to it. How about if we take a break and hear from DX Engineering, and when we come back, we'll talk about what exactly you need to operate Whisper.
Every ham radio operator knows speed matters. Whether it's jumping in your truck during an emergency or staying up all night for lightning-quick contesting, seconds count. And there's nothing more painful than being off the air waiting for equipment to arrive. At DX Engineering, we know a thing or two about speed. You can count on us to provide the fastest shipping in the ham universe. How fast? You get same-day shipping on most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern Time. It's that fast. So that new rig, antenna, cable assembly, or replacement part you need will make it to your shack in plenty of time to work a remote DXCC entity or dominate the competition in the next contest. And the best part is, DX Engineering offers free shipping for most orders over $99. Radio waves travel at the speed of light. Lucky for you, so does DX Engineering. Visit dxengineering.com. That's dxengineering.com.
And we're back. And if you want to give Whisper a try, here's what you need. I think I'll shock you at first. How's that? You don't need a ham license. Say what? No, really. Unless you want to transmit Whisper, you don't need a ham license. If all you want to do is listen, monitor Whisper transmissions, anybody can do that. All you need is a receiver capable of receiving single sideband, upper sideband. And you need a means to route the audio from that receiver, say from a headphone jack, for example, or maybe an accessory jack, to the input of a computer, the sound card input. Now, that could be the line input or the microphone input. But either way, you have to get the audio from the receiver to your computer because that's where the Whisper software resides, and that's how Whisper processes the signal that your sound device or sound card turns from analog audio into digital information. So this means the Whisper can actually be used for educational applications. Again, you don't need a ham license. A teacher can set up a receiver, throw an antenna out the window, theoretically, and monitor Whisper transmissions. They can plot on big maps where they're receiving these signals and so on. It would be an interesting little science project or science class exercise, if you will. But what do you need if you want to transmit Whisper? Well, you need a transceiver to begin with. You need a single sideband transceiver. You need a means to interface the transceiver to the computer. Now, by that I mean the means to get the audio to and from the radio, and also have the computer key the radio between transmit and receive. Now, if you're already operating something like FT8, you already have everything you need. If not, if you have no digital mode capability, then you're going to likely need a sound card interface of some kind. If you have QST magazine available, you'll see all sorts of advertisements for sound card interfaces. Go see your dealer, go online. They're everywhere and they're at various prices. And also, many transceivers these days have sound devices already built into them. So in that case, all you may have to do is run a USB cable from the transceiver to the computer. What you'll also need is the WSJTX software. And if you get on Google, just Google WSJT-X. And that will lead you to Joe Taylor's website. And there you'll find WSJTX, the latest versions for Windows, Mac, or Linux. Either one. By the way, some people use the Linux version of WSJTX to run Whisper with Raspberry Pi computers. They dedicate that to being their Whisper stations. Whichever way you go, once you install the software on your computer, of course you have to go in and set up the software. You'll notice that the software has the ability to control your transceiver frequency automatically using CAT, computer-aided transceive. You don't necessarily need that to run Whisper. If you don't have your transceiver configured that way, don't worry about it. Use the Whisper drop-down menu for the frequencies and just manually set your transceiver on the appropriate frequency. What you will need, though, is a transceiver that is reasonably frequency stable. But that applies to just about every modern rig that's available today. More importantly, perhaps, you need a computer that keeps accurate time. Time, just like with FT8, is critical to Whisper. Your computer has to be accurate within about roughly 1 second, I would say. Maybe a half a second, something like that. Now, with Windows, which most hams use, you can set your time using internet time servers. In fact, Windows has this built in automatically and will do that automatically. However, some configurations of Windows will only do that about once a day. So you may have to go in before you have a whisper session coming up and kind of force Windows to go out there and update its time. It'll do this through Control Panel, or I believe in Windows 10 it is called the Settings menu. But either way, however you approach it, you have to be able to keep accurate time. It also helps if you have an internet connection at your station so that Whisper can automatically upload what you receive to the internet to the whisper.org website, or whisper.net, I really should say. And that really helps your fellow hams, your fellow Whisper users, so that way they can see what you're receiving. The uploads happen in the background. You'll never even notice. It won't drag down your computer in any way. Of course, there is a user manual that you can download with WSJTX. I strongly advise that you read that so that you get everything set up properly. And, at the risk of shilling, as they say for my book, Get on the Air with HF Digital, the second edition has an entire chapter devoted to Whisper, and you may want to pick up a copy. I don't get any royalties from it, but it's another easy way to make sure that you're set up properly. Get everything set up, give it a try, and I think you'll be astonished at what you can receive, and equally astonished by who can receive you. Now, before we wrap up the podcast, I do have a question here. This is from Kelly, KE4XT, and he's asking, quote, I'm curious about your opinion regarding balanced unshielded feed lines, such as open wire line, window line, or twin lead. It's been my experience that such feed lines, when dressed straight into the shack, may have been acceptable in the relatively RF quiet days of the 1950s and 60s. But in today's noisy world, they seem to pick up every kind of plasma, every drop of dimmer noise, etc. Well, Kelly, it's true that open wire feed lines can indeed pick up more noise than, say, coaxial cable feed lines. If you could imagine an area that is roughly circular, surrounding the feed line at about 5 or 6 times the diameter, anything within that zone, let's say a wire carrying a signal, can be picked up by the feed line. In addition, if you had some large piece of metal within that zone, that can affect the impedance of the line at that point. So without question, there would be an issue. However, there is kind of a trade-off that you have to calculate between the fact that open wire feed lines have extremely low loss and coaxial feed lines have much higher losses. If you can bring the feed line into your station, if you can keep it a few inches away from other wires, you really shouldn't have much of a problem. Coaxial cable is, of course, much easier to work with, but once again, I have to emphasize, the trade-off is, at times, depending on the frequency, an astonishing amount of loss in coaxial cable, especially with the SWR. I forgot to take that into account. So, it is a trade-off. It's a balance you have to strike. It depends on what you need. It depends on what sort of route the feed line has to take to get into your station. Hope that helps, Kelly.
If you have a question for the doctor, email us at doctor@arrl.org. The Doctor Is In podcast is sponsored by DX Engineering at www.dxengineering.com. Background music provided by Purple Planet at www.purple-planet.com. This podcast is copyright ARRL. All rights are reserved. Until next time, I'm QST Managing Editor Becky Schoenfeld, W1BXY 73, and thanks for listening.